This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear fellow believers who have been planted by God's word and who sow the seed of God's word with others. Back in the early 1800s of our country, people used to make this phrase. They used to say that a squirrel could travel from Maine all the way down to Texas without ever touching the ground. They made this observation because of all the trees and the lush vegetation. Now, whether or not a squirrel could really travel that distance without ever touching the ground, we don't know. But you understand the point. But also in the early 1800s, our president, Thomas Jefferson, bought the Louisiana Purchase, which gave us the lands of North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. And so our government sent people to explore the lands that we just bought. And do you know what they said about the lands of North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas? One man had this to say, that the land was almost completely unfit for cultivation. They were saying that that land was completely unfit for growing crops. And they made that observation because the land was completely flat, there weren't a lot of trees there, and the Native Americans living there weren't growing their own crops. And so they called this land the Great American Desert. And it's kind of weird for us to view North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas as the Great American Desert, because we call it the great breadbasket of our nation. In time, people moved into this land and they realized just how rich the soil was for growing crops. But those travelers that first went through, they simply made assumptions about the land by its appearance. In essence, they judged the book by its cover. And we all have done that, haven't we? We all have judged something or someone simply by their appearance. And we didn't take the time to really get to know that person or to get to know that product. But have you ever done that with God's word? Have you ever made assumptions about God's word without really examining it or to really look at what God's word does? And that's really the point of Jesus' two parables this morning. He is teaching all of us, don't judge the book by its cover, because it is powerful and because it causes growth. Now, in these two parables, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And people in Jesus' day and also in our own day as well have the wrong impressions about what God's kingdom is. Do you know what God's kingdom is? After all, every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are saying to God, "Thy kingdom come." So what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is not Jesus ruling physically here on earth. Instead, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is God ruling in your hearts through faith. And he started to rule in your hearts when God's word planted the seed of faith in you. God's word was powerful enough to do that for you. And that's basically the point of Jesus' first parable this morning. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain." Let me ask you this question. In your mind, who is more powerful? The man who sows the seed, or the seed that is sown by a person? I think we would all choose that the person who sows the seed is more powerful. But notice that a man does not make a seed powerful. It's not like when you plant a seed in the ground, you are sitting right next to that seed and you are teaching it how to grow. It's not like you're a cheerleader and you're encouraging that seed. And simply by your encouragement, that seed is now more motivated to become a plant. The only thing that you do is that you plant the seed in the ground. And the seed grows all by itself because the seed is powerful enough to do that. And the same thing applies to God's word as well. God's word is powerful all by itself. God's word creates faith in a person's heart. It is God's word that strengthens faith in a person's heart. And that whole process of creating or strengthening faith in a person's heart, how much do you really contribute to that? It's not like you teach and motivate a person to suddenly become a believer. All that you do is that you sow the seed of God's word. And God is the one who works through his powerful word to accomplish what he set it out to do. Not even the Apostle Paul took any credit for this. For he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God's word is powerful all by itself. But do you judge the book by its cover and think God's word needs something more in order to make it truly powerful? Now, you may look at our church where we gather to hear God's word, and maybe you think to yourself, if only the church building were bigger. If only we had more members in the church. If only we had more programs to offer to people. And if only we had more visitors coming to church each and every week, then God's word would truly be powerful because we would have such a great reputation and image in our community. Now, certainly we want a positive reputation in our community, and we would love to have visitors hear God's word and to be brought to faith, but none of those things makes God's word more powerful. God's word is powerful all by itself. Or maybe you judge the book by its cover, and you think God's word really isn't that powerful because of who you are. You may think that since I'm not a pastor, or since I don't know Scripture that well, or since I'm not the most eloquent in sharing God's word with others, or since I'm just a teen and a young child, that there is no way that God's word would work in a person's heart when I share it. But thinking this way denies the power of God's word because it puts the power on who you are. And Lord, forgive us for every time we think this way. And Lord, move us to trust and understand what you are teaching us this morning. That God's word is powerful all by itself. God's word is powerful if it comes from a pastor, or if it comes from a person who doesn't know Scripture that well, or if it comes from a person who's not the most fluent in sharing Scripture, or even if it comes from a young child, because God is the one who makes his word powerful. All that you have to do is sow the seed of God's word, and God will do the rest. But now this leads us to ask a different question. You may be asking yourself, if my job is only to sow the seed of God's word, and if God is the one who makes his word powerful, then why is it that when I share his word with others, It doesn't seem to work. Why is it that I can share God's word with two people and one of them believes, but not the other one? Or none of them believe? Why is it that I can share God's word with a friend, a family member, or my spouse for years and nothing seems to happen? And so you may judge the book by its cover by thinking it doesn't really work. But that's what Jesus is teaching us in the second parable. He's telling us, don't judge the book by its cover, because it does cause growth. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Jesus compares the kingdom of God, which is God ruling in your hearts through faith, to a mustard seed, which is a very small seed. Do you know how small a mustard seed really is? A mustard seed is only 1 to 2 millimeters in size. To put that into perspective, all you have to do is take a pen and quickly touch it against a sheet of paper. And that small little dot that pen will make is about the size of a mustard seed. But then that seed grows to become a plant that can reach up to 10 to 15 feet in height. And simply judging the seed by its cover, looking at it, you would think there is no way that tiny seed could grow to be that huge. But that's exactly what that seed does. And the same thing applies to God's word as well. Looking and judging it by its cover, it seems like there's no way God's word is really going to make an impact on someone. But it's truly an amazing thing when God's word causes growth. It truly is a miracle. Because when you look at the main teaching of Scripture, which is about Jesus Christ, it does not come off as something spectacular to people. People can judge Jesus by his cover. By his cover, it seemed like Jesus was born out of wedlock. And he's born in a stable and placed in a manger where animals eat. To put that in perspective, everyone here who's a farmer, if one night you walked into your barn and saw a couple giving birth to a child, would your first thought be, what a glorious birth this child had? And I'm sure this child is meant for great things. You would not think that. By his cover, Jesus' ministry was not really successful, for he lost more followers than he ever gained. Sure, at one point he had more than 5,000 people willing to listen to him. But after Jesus fed the 5,000, soon most of those people stopped following Jesus. And you may think, if Jesus is such an influential person, certainly the spiritual leaders would be following him. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with him, and they plotted to kill him. And they did. And by his cover, Jesus' death is not spectacular in any way, shape, or form. We could focus on the brutality of Jesus' death, and it was brutal. But don't forget how shameful his death was. They crucified Jesus right outside the city walls on a street that led in and out of the city. And so people could see Jesus dying on the cross, and either they could turn their heads in disgust, or they could hurl insults at Jesus and mock him as he's dying. And so Jesus died a shameful death right there on the side of the road. To put that in perspective, and trust me, it feels weird for me to say it like this, but the shameful way that Jesus died is about as equivalent to roadkill. when you see that animal dead on the street, almost always your heart does not go out to that creature. And you're probably thinking to yourself, good riddance. One less of those creatures running around. That's exactly how people view Jesus as he died on the cross. They were thinking to themselves, good riddance. We don't need another person like Jesus living here anymore. And their hearts did not go out to him. And that's the Savior that you believe in. That's the Savior that you share with people. And Paul put it this way. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. When we preach Christ and him crucified to people, by nature, they view our message as being something foolish. By nature, they view you as being stupid. And sometimes by nature, people view your message as something offensive. And maybe you have experienced that. Maybe you know that full well. And so you may judge the book by its cover and think it doesn't seem to work. It doesn't cause spiritual growth in people. But Jesus tells us, don't judge the book by its cover. It does cause spiritual growth. Remember that everyone by nature views God's word as something foolish and offensive. That's what you were by nature. By nature, you were a great spiritual desert. By nature, the soil of your soul was completely unfit for spiritual cultivation. But God's word, with the waters of your baptism, created spiritual life in your soul. And even though people could judge baptism by its cover and think there's no way that a few drops of water would change a person, God's word connected with that water caused spiritual growth to happen in your life. And God's word continued to cause spiritual growth in your faith. And so now you want to share that message of Christ crucified with others, because now you don't view the message of Christ crucified as something shameful. But instead it brings you great comfort because you now know and trust that Jesus lived and died for you to forgive you of your sins and to bring you eternal life. And so you share that message with others. Now, will there be times when people reject your message and there is no spiritual growth? Yes. But Jesus also tells you here this morning that his word will cause spiritual growth. It happened in Jonah's day. People could have judged the Ninevites by their cover and think there is no way this group of people would believe. But using Jonah, God brought these people to repentance. And God caused spiritual growth in Paul's day. People could have judged Christianity by its cover and think there is no way this small group of believers will have any influence in the world. And yet Paul said, all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. And God is causing spiritual growth to happen throughout the world right now. There are people in Africa and Asia that are flocking to hear God's word. But here in America, it seems like they're flocking away from God's word, and you might think there's no spiritual growth happening here anymore. But God is promising you that he still brings people to faith, and that when you share God's word with others, you can help them spiritually. I mean, God is causing spiritual growth right now for you this morning as you hear his word. And the reason God's word does this is because it is powerful. Therefore, do not judge the book by its cover, but simply sow the seed of God's word to others and watch how God will make it grow. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find in your pew.